You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This is Beth Bowen. You're listening to Rebel Radio with Gorilla One. Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio. What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the rebels who are shaping our culture. I'm your host, Josh Levine. This week, I bring you another episode in our Artwork Rebels series in partnership with Gorilla One and my man, Eddie Donaldson. We talk to artists at the top of the game and on the way up in street art, graffiti, all type of visual arts. And this week, I got a good one for you. This week, we're talking to Beth Bowen. She's an artist new on the scene, but moving up quickly. Even in her first couple years as an artist, she's already had work shown at the Louvre, the Cannes Film Festival, growing list of galleries, and the best is yet to come for her. You can tell she's making things happen. Beth is a masterclass in having no fear, just going for it, and leading with gratitude. She's got some great stories, great lessons. It's a really fun conversation, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Let's get into it with Beth Bowen. Beth, I'm super excited to talk to you.
So excited.
It's
to talk to you guys.
It's always we've known each other socially,
and that's right.
I think I knew you as a friend before I even knew you were an artist. So, and now I've learned all this extra stuff, and now you're working with one of our best friends and collaborators and amazing person.
Longtime friends, yeah.
Absolutely.
She was asking on the way up in the elevator, how do you know Josh? I was like, how don't I know Josh? We've worked together for almost 30 years, off and on.
Yeah, we met. I was still in college when we met. Eddie had a streetwear store, a graffiti store, and I was just some doofus running around.
Right.
And trying to be in all the cool spots, and then Eddie would be at all of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's how it happens.
That is.
So we know each other through Talinda Bennington.
Yes.
And had some fun meals and
trip
to Austin.
I know Formula One. That was epic.
Yeah, and I think that's where so I just thought you were a nice person, and then started learning about all the art, and now it sounds like it's really taking off. So super excited to talk about it. I want to talk about all the stuff you guys are doing together and all that. But you didn't start out an artist. This is new.
No.
For you, am I right?
Yeah, I found art by accident.
So what was going on before that? We'll get to all the art and stuff, but take
before,
me on the journey a little bit.
Television, lots okay. of commercials, print work, going out for legitimate casting roles, but always got called back for reality.
Okay.
So as much as I saw myself as a future Meryl Streep, the Big Brother wanted me in their house. Or so, okay. But I ended up agreeing to join a cast on Bravo. There mm-hmm. goes the motherhood. Mm-hmm. And it basically showcased moms like housewives with kids. Unfortunately, we only had one season and went through a breakup. The show got canceled. I really didn't know. I was like approaching late 30s at the time, and I didn't really know what I was going to do. And I started watching YouTube tutorials on painting. And saw this really cool fluid pour. I was like, that's rad. I wanted to learn how to do that. So I taught myself how to paint. And
so wait, let me stop you there. So
yeah.
So you're just on YouTube, like one day, just like, I think I want to learn how to paint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Literally self-taught.
Okay.
Watching YouTube tutorials. And the executive producer of the show that I was on circled back and said, hey, Beth, what are you up to? I said, you know what? I don't know. I kind of hit a crossroads. And I'm like, but she's like, well, what makes you happy? I said, painting. I just learned how to paint. And I'm watching these YouTube tutorials. And she's like, paint me something. Cool. And so I did. She said her producing partner, dad, passed at 9:09. Do something with those numbers and send it to me by the end of the week. And I was just kind of nervous. I was like, I really respect her, and she has that real masculine energy. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna do this. I want. So I made something quick, shipped it off, and she called me. I totally forgot about the piece like a week and a half later, and she's like, I don't know what you just did, but he's in tears and loves it. You need to do this. And she's like, I'm gonna help you. We're gonna book galleries. I'm gonna help you sell your art. I mean, none of that happened, but it was her initial belief in me that, like, you know, I am gonna do this. So I just started painting a bunch of pieces, and I saw that a friend of mine's band was performing October 6th, and it was like 6 weeks away at the Mint. So I booked a place in Hollywood, so they would kind of, he's already advertising, you know, I'm going to capitalize on his audience, he's a friend of mine, and say, hey guys, before your show, swing by Substrate Gallery and check out my art. And so I had this huge crowd come through, like, almost 500 people.
Yes.
Between all of my network of friends and the band's network. Huge success, and sold half the pieces. The gallery, the curator was like, I don't know who you are, but this is amazing.
Great job. Yeah, great job.
Great job. He's like, I want to help you.
Great first time.
Yeah. And from there, that he had a show with Gabriel Fine Arts of London, a month later, but 2 weeks later he called me to let me know that they picked my Mermaid Lagoon piece as a wild card spot, whatever, in the show. And my piece sold that night, and then they ended up taking me to Art Basel.
Wow.
And it just kind of took off from there.
Amazing.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card. Apple Card is the credit card created by Apple. It gives you unlimited cash back every day on every purchase, up to 3%. And you can use that cash right away. No waiting and waiting for rewards. Just daily cash that you can use right away on anything. Apply now in the Wallet app on iPhone and start using it right away. Subject to credit approval, daily cash is available via an Apple Cash Card or as a statement credit. See Apple Card customer agreement for terms and conditions. Apple Cash Card is issued by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. So, okay, let's recap that, because there's a lot of amazing stuff that just happened in 90 seconds. So, like, you were going to be a dramatic actress, and that didn't work out.
Right.
And then you found your way into reality TV.
By mistake, too. Yeah.
By mistake. And then that sort of worked out.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe not the launch pad that you were hoping it would be.
Right.
But then that took you to something else. So tell me about your internal process each time the road shifts. Like, you, I would guess from just this and from the little that I know you, like, you're really good at just shifting gears on the fly.
Yes. Yeah.
How do you do that?
I think it's my personality trait. I don't know. Maybe it's the Gemini in me.
Interesting.
No, I'm just saying. I absolutely love this. I really do feel like this is my life calling, but I never in a million years would have guessed it.
Yeah. Because I think we know a lot of people, certainly artists, who are, you know, incredibly focused on their vision and probably way too rigid. And when things aren't working out for them, they're like, well, that's everyone else's fault. This is what I do, and I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And sometimes that works out for them in the long run, and a lot of times it doesn't. How many people do we know that just
can't get out of the rut.
Isn't working for too long?
Right. I love about art is every time I'm working on a piece, it's something I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
With acting, you take on roles that you don't really believe in the character, or it just doesn't feel authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that it's something new every day. It's not the same. I don't feel like I get stuck in a rut. I feel like it's exciting and it keeps me motivated and excited about it. Yeah. I went into this with zero expectations. Mm-hmm. And then, which I didn't finish my story, but I ended up getting picked up by a gallery in Austria that submitted through them. I submitted to Art Monaco, the Louvre, and the Cannes Film Festival, and I got into all three.
Wow.
And so 1 year from the day I started art, I was flying to Paris to be in the Louvre show for Modern Art Masters.
Oh my God.
So random. And so yeah. I was like, I would have never said I would do something like that. I just submitted. What are they going to say? No. I got called back. I got this really long, nice email from a curator of Art Tokyo. We ended up picking a sculpture for Best in Show, but you were our choice for the Your Life, Your Canvas for abstract art. And I was like, wow. And she was like, went on and Beth and blah, blah, blah. And you kept using my name. So it wasn't like a cut and paste. It was really like a personal
authentic,
email.
Authentic interaction.
And it was just so nice. And she's like, followed up, like, what are you up to? What are you doing? And it just feels like this is what I was supposed to have been doing this whole time. I just didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm blown away by that, and I was blown away when you first told me. Nobody is smart enough to apply to be in the Louvre.
Yeah, right? Pretty much. Well, I'll tell you one thing. She's motivated.
Yeah.
And she's fearless.
Okay.
So we were talking last week. She's like, I'm just going to submit to some things. And she got, two, three things after just, a casual conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think ego plays a role in a lot of it. Maybe it's not brains, but it's ego plays a role in people not wanting to apply to these things because they don't want to be rejected, because then that'll put a stagger in their step or make them feel a little depleted on their ambition.
So how do we learn that? I mean, that is one of the great things about acting, right, is that you get rejected constantly.
Right.
So it teaches you how to deal with that, hopefully.
Yes.
It doesn't break you.
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't know if that's part of it, but where does that come from to just see an opportunity and not be held back from going after it?
I think overcoming adversity. After my mom died, I was like, all right, that's it. My biggest mm-hmm. cheerleader is gone. I have mm-hmm. nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, it was like, what is fear? Fear is something that we sabotage ourselves with.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put fear in the back seat and move forward. Just, I don't fear people. I don't fear rejection.
Okay.
100 may not like it, but 101st person may, whatever.
Yeah, no
it's
doubt.
Like, you never know. It's just.
Does it just not come up for you, or do you get afraid and then have a way of moving past that?
I think the fear element is exciting.
Mm.
Like something new, like doing a mural, that's freaking rad. That's exciting to me. I just want to do it. I want to do it.
It's a desire.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's a desire.
Yeah.
I love it.
And will. Right?
Yeah. And then what's the flip side of that, right? Is so when you get into the Louvre or Cannes Film Festival or whatever,
mm-hmm.
What's that energy?
It's exhilarating. I have no business, but maybe I do. I don't know. Sure.
Does it confirm?
This is it's not my friends
mm-hmm.
that are accepting me.
Mm-hmm.
It's someone totally random on the, across the world. Mm-hmm. For me, it's just it's validating for sure. It confirms that this is something I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I take it.
Mm-hmm.
And then having our celebrities buy my art or things like that, it's not, these aren't gifts to them. They chose to buy it. They like my stuff. It's, to me, it's confirmation.
Yeah. Tell me about you. So you got on YouTube and obviously the great thing about YouTube is everything Anything you want to learn or know is there.
Yeah.
How do you think you landed on the particular style of painting that, like, what attracted that to you?
Oh, it was so random. It was, this guy looked like a high school PE teacher, and he was talking to a couple kids like, hey, and he had Elmer's glue out, and he had Floetrol, and he had little Dixie cups. And it just seemed so simple.
Uh-huh.
And I like the simplicity of how he mixed this concoction together, and it kept the acrylic paint in its integrity, and it didn't blend. It was really rad, and they added the oil, the silicone, like the treadmill oil to it, and I just thought it was so cool. These cells would pop up, and I'm like, I could do that. Mm-hmm. I could totally do that. So I went to Home Depot, Michaels, and bought a bunch of stuff, tried it out. It looked rad. I'm like, all right, here we go. Let's start. And I started with spray paint and newspaper and just putting stuff together, which I thought just looked really cool.
How did you evolve from the pouring to the new technique that I
Oh, so on the way back, the fine art series that I created was called, it's called Your Life, Your Canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was on the plane coming back from Paris, I was literally looking out the window. I was like, what am I doing next? And how did I get here? It's like, how do you start from like TV commercials, full-time mom, to now I'm doing art? Mm-hmm. Like, what I loved about the concept in my head, it was like, it's starting over. It's like, I would scrape paintings that I wasn't into. I'm like, okay, that looks like crap now. And I would just start over. I'm like, why don't I create a series of starting over? And I like the fact, it's like, kind of giving ourselves permission to do whatever the hell we want. After my mom died, it's like, guess what? We only have one life.
Right.
And tomorrow's not promised. So do it now.
Sure.
So just do it now. Like, be happy now. Live in gratitude and see how things go. Like, that has been kind of my mantra. So yeah. That's how I created that.
I love it. Talk about kids. So you have four kids.
Yes.
That's a real mom.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, you know, I have one, so we're just pretending. But, you know, I know that Christy and all of her friends go through, you know, different emotions about careers and their responsibilities to their kids and how much they live their own lives. And
mm-hmm.
and I, those are not, that can be complicated.
Definitely.
So how is your relationship to your kids and your role as a mom changed as your careers started growing?
I think I'm more mindful of a schedule.
Yeah.
And becoming, I guess, my own manager, boss, as far as I would set up the day into like quadrants, like 8 hours to sleep, first 8 hours, drop off, complete a couple paintings, pick up the kids, then go to the sports activities, return phone calls, maybe hit the gym if possible. And it's just starting all over. I have to create my own, deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I have to be really good at micromanaging. So that's what
I'm
I do.
Sure. Sure.
Do your kids love your art?
Love it.
They
think it's really cool.
Do they ever participate?
Yeah, my youngest, she will paint next to me.
Yeah.
But I make sure, she's like, oh, help me with this. I go, no, this is your work. So if I touch it, then it becomes my work.
Right.
So I let them create.
Whatever. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think we need to do a mother-daughter, or mother paint.
Yeah.
Child.
Yeah, 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 collab. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's great. And I also, you know, whenever it comes up for Christy, like, my attitude is always that your kid needs to see you living your life and accomplishing your goals and
Definitely. Being
fully who you are, Definitely. Not just the one that's there to pick them up from the games and make them dinner and, like,
right.
all that
right.
stuff. You know, whatever you do for them, that's great and important,
right.
too. But you're also modeling a life.
Yeah.
Totally.
For young humans who don't
role model.
Who don't know how to live yet. Right.
Right, right, right,
and
right.
So,
right.
you know, I think I would imagine that part of the gift that you're giving them is for them to see that you can do this.
Definitely, definitely. Work, hard work pays off.
Sure.
Yeah. And to stick with it, yeah. I mean, not to go off topic, but my daughter wanted to switch classes and she didn't like her teacher. And I said, there's gonna be so many times you're not gonna like your boss.
Yeah.
Or a manager. You can't just quit. Mm-hmm. You can't just put on a resume like every other month, like you switch jobs. Like it's not okay.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think stay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Reboot your credit card with Apple Card. Apple Card is the credit card created by Apple. It gives you unlimited cash back every day on every purchase, up to 3%. And you can use that cash right away. No waiting and waiting for rewards. Just daily cash that you can use right away on anything. Apply now in the Wallet app on iPhone and start using it right away. Subject to credit approval, daily cash is available via an Apple Cash Card or as a statement credit. See Apple Card Customer Agreement for terms and conditions. Apple Cash Card is issued by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. So, you're very different than a lot of the artists that we usually talk to, which are typically graffiti and street art. So I'm curious about how you guys are working together and what... you know, what is the buyers and the folks that you know that may have expected one type of thing from you? And
well, for me, it's a breath of fresh air, right? Because, you know, her attitude is just so different.
Sure.
You know, and I'm not dissing all the other people that we've talked to.
We love them all.
We know, but, you know, it's a bunch of hard ankles and attitudes and egos attached to where we come from,
right,
by nature of the game and the sport of graffiti and street art. It's very competitive,
mm-hmm,
from the essence of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And her attitude is just so much better, and so chill, you know. And the confidence level is there without the experience or the notoriety, and I think that's a lot of gas for an engine, you know. It's a lot of power,
yeah.
It's a lot of power in that. And if you think about it, like, you know, working with Retina, there's a lot of similarities, and I'm not comparing the two, but like Retina has that kind of crossover appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that would probably like his work that would respect her work as well,
mm-hmm,
because it could fit anywhere in your house and it could fit in any house.
Yeah.
And it could make your house look better regardless of what type of house it is. You know, so I'm excited. And I think it's gonna open a lot of new doors for my business as well, because
sure,
it's a different conversation.
I imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
Most artists you've worked with have been men.
Yes.
Do you see a difference in how people respond to Beth or her art?
Of course. You know, like, we were at the art show the other day, and I was like, or hope we sell this piece. I go, if you stand here all night, it's going to sell. Just don't move.
Right,
go,
when he left, it sold.
I go, just stand here and just like this, like, you know, picture perfect.
Right.
And then I guess I left, and maybe I should leave early always. But,
No.
You know, yeah, there's definitely a difference. And I mean, and there's a difference in my approach too, you know, because it's with Beth, it's not just the art, it's the human as well.
Sure.
You know, and it's like, you know, like Laura, for instance, from Artists for Trauma, can't say enough good things about her energy. And Laura's a very good person that can, you know, can see the energy in human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, when you come in with that energy, I believe that in artists' work, they put their energy and their DNA into that work, and that lives in your home or your house and in your environment. So if they meet her and she's bright and bubbly and exciting and happy, they take the piece home, they're gonna look at it and get that same sense of energy when they look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and intrinsically it's gonna be coming off the painting and living in the painting. So yeah, it's different. It's a lot different.
You know? No, I agree. And I think also that, you know, now we have all this access to people through social media that we, you know, if you like an artist, you can go look back not only at their art, but you can learn about who they are as people, and that
as
becomes
humans,
part
yeah.
of your experience when you're staring at it on the wall, that you have all those memories and emotions attached to it.
Yeah, yeah, and we're working on the social media, because mm-hmm. she comes from a different, you know, was a TV star and has all these other things, so it's like figuring out that algorithm
mm-hmm.
for her to kind of tell her story. We're working on that. Those are some plans we have. That's why we're here today, so that she can have the opportunity to explain who she is, and everybody mm-hmm. can kind of really get a look into her head versus just into her hands and her brush.
Sure. What happens? Tell me those probably rare days when you're not bubbly and optimistic.
Yeah.
What do you do?
What do I do? I usually paint.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very therapeutic for me. It's where I feel like I'm the most present. Mm. Yeah, it's definitely a form of therapy.
I mean, I can tell you in the short time that we've been working together, I haven't caught her in that moment where she's not in that mode. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's not an act. I think it's just a consistent presence that she holds.
Sure.
And I think going back to the question about like how it's the two worlds are going to integrate, we have plans to collaborate with some people, you know, which we had talked about yesterday. I think, you know, bringing that energy and this energy together, you know, that like street, grimy, graffiti, gritty emotion to this emotion could really create some magic.
Sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people tend to collaborate with people that are a lot like them. It's just natural, maybe.
No, right? Of course.
And I think that's some ways a lot less interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there'll be a ton of, you get her and Retina in the room together, that's a hell of a collaboration, right?
Yeah. How do you know when a piece is done?
I feel it. I don't even question it. I'm like, it's done. It feels balanced.
Okay.
I see balance on the canvas. I can tell you when it's not. I'm like, no, this isn't done. I mean, I just feel it. Mm. Feel it in my bones. I'm like, yep, that's done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us about the paintbrush. I mean, for those of you that don't know, she has a series, and she
your
puts a paintbrush.
Canvas, yeah.
She actually glues a paintbrush to the piece. Mm-hmm. It's quite interesting.
Yeah. So the paintbrush symbolizes the new beginnings and starting over. Mm. I paint it red for good luck. White's usually for clean slate. But I will tweak and alternate different colors too as what's coming down. Sometimes it's gold, sometimes it's like a bright color or whatever. I like just the image of what the paintbrush stands for. It's almost like turning a key, starting over. It's just the symbolism. I like to include the brush on the piece.
Nice. And speaking of colors, she's working on a new piece for the Pow Her show that we're doing.
Yes.
For International Women's Month.
Okay.
Tell us.
Pinks and purples, and it's a really vibrant gold coming down. It's female power. It's encouragement, strength. And I'm really motivated also to hopefully open doors for other females, you know, as I'm trying to pave the way for myself, because I mean, just the numbers, I don't know if you're familiar, but I have done research about women in art, and we're only represented by 13% globally. So that's museums and galleries. It's still a male-dominated world. And even in my art history class that I remember just like learning about, it was just always old white men.
Sure.
So I'm trying to change that. When is the irony is like, us women, like, we paint our faces. Like, we are artists through and through. Like, this is what we do. I mean, we are.
I've never thought about
that. You know, it's like, we're artists. That's what we do.
Some of you take really ugly and make it look pretty. Some of you take pretty and make it prettier. I mean, it's the truth.
But we are artists.
I mean, come on,
artists.
You know, you've seen girls and you see them out and they look great and then you wake up or you catch them on a shot with the kids and they're not looking quite so good.
Anyway, it's not, I didn't know those were the numbers, but it's no surprise that it would be such a male-dominated profession. It's hundreds of years old and, you know, comes from a very patriarchal place.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, a lot of industries are male-dominated just because men worked and women stayed home. Now that we're going through a social change here, a lot of women are starting to work and some men are staying home. Mm-hmm. And I think it's exciting to see this new day, period, regardless of art or whatever it is, where women are finally able to have a chance to compete and live in the environment and thrive And I think, you know, to her point, Beth is a really great example of that. You know, coming back from such a tough time and finding a sweet spot for yourself and having no fear and nothing to hold you back, even though you have four kids and you have lost your mom. You're still like, nothing's holding me back. This is what I'm going to do. This is my dream and it's going to happen. I'm going to make it my reality.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how does that, you know, we talked about kind of just going after these things. And I'm sure there's still a lot more to go after, but also I think, you know, careers start to build momentum and sort of take on a course of their own, do you think at all about that, about like, is there a point where you sort of like let things happen versus going and making things happen?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, I'm really putting my trust in Eddie and his experience, and I trust him. I feel that he's not going to lead me in the wrong direction. I think we both win and benefit from success and the choices. So I'm just trusting the process. I don't know. I mean, if it's a snowball effect and everything collaborate together, fantastic. Let's see where it goes.
I mean, on that note, the one interesting thing is like, you know, you work with someone like Retina and it's all incoming and it's just easy, right? It's not easy, but it's incoming and it's nice. Then you work with someone new and they're expecting you to change their life overnight. The interesting thing about Beth is like, we sit down and we have our conversations and we talk about what we're going to do, and she's got equally as many ideas as I do. And that's refreshing because she has a vision of where she wants to go and how to get there versus like trying to get in the backseat of my car and have me drive her there.
Sure.
So I think that's a combination for success. You know, I'm going to open the doors that I have, but then she's going to open the doors that she wants, and then there's just going to be nothing but open doors.
You know? No, I think that's great, and it's interesting. To me, what sticks out is the, you know, at the beginning, it's all you, right? It's all, you're pushing everything uphill. And some doors open more easily than you expect and others don't and whatever, right? And then at a certain point, knowing what to say no to becomes more and more important.
We were just talking about that.
Right.
With the NFT space.
Sure, right? And you know, anybody successful reaches a point where there's just more opportunity than you can take advantage of. Some things are going to be a waste of time and distract you from doing the most important things. Other things are, there's potential downside. And so that dynamic, I think, starts to shift.
And it's we're feeling it already. I mean, we're a month old and it's like already there's opportunities coming and we have to evaluate those things.
Sure.
But the one thing I like is a fresh take on those evaluations. You know, you're looking at someone who's been in the business for 30 years.
Right.
I'm quick to cut this conversation short because suspect, you know, but Beth, if she has her vision or her feeling or her faith and she understands it a little differently than I do and is willing to gamble some, we have to make those decisions. I think the NFT space is so tumultuous, or I don't know the right word, but it's a little risky, you know, and for me, for my clients, we're taking every precaution to make sure we make the right choices in that space.
Yeah, I mean, what I see from the outside is some people are making a lot of money, way more than anybody was expecting. There's a lot of junk out there that's not doing anything.
At all. I mean, I think it's 1% of the people on OpenSea, or less than 1% of the people on OpenSea are actually even selling, much less making a real profit.
Right. Which is kind of like, you know, everything. Spotify is the same and,
yeah, of course,
you know, whatever, right? Like,
I mean, one thing I would like to ask you, Josh, you know, coming from that commercial marketing world.
Sure.
Does Beth have something you think that could be offered to some of these corporate companies? Like
to brands? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, my experience, brands want two things. They want big famous household names that they can pay a lot of money to, and it makes everything easy for them. Mm-hmm. And then they want creative people who have good ideas, who are great to work with, who show up on time and don't make them feel like they're just a checkbook. Mm-hmm. And I mean, everything we've been talking about, that the energy and the attitude that you bring is infectious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, brand people, as a rule, they're not that creative. I'm not putting anybody down, right? But that's, they're not creative in the way that, they're not going to make something out of nothing.
Okay.
Right? Their job is to manage risk and manage budgets and create a sort of predictable, safe outcome. Mm-hmm. And so they get really excited when they get to work with somebody who comes at the life from a different perspective.
Yeah.
So I think there's probably a ton of opportunity there.
I mean, another thing I'm excited about too is, like, you know, which I'm whimsical, right? Like, I'm a dreamer, but can you imagine a 5-story building just with those lines coming down?
Oh yeah.
And you can see, like, just look out the window. Imagine that building just had those lines. Like,
yeah,
that would,
very cool.
It's clear. It's concise. It
for
has
sure.
emotion. It has movement. Tech. It has everything. So you see that from, you know, from here, 5-story building, you're like, wow, you're going to remember that. You're going to want to know what that is and why it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, and there's nothing wrong with, like, a beautiful girl or, like, a character or, but it's just,
sure.
like, so, you know, specific that you're going to remember that a little more than the rest of it.
Yeah, and I think those opportunities are out there. I'm, you know, every time I drive down Melrose, there's people standing in front of that fucking pink wall.
It's so ridiculous, I know.
Yeah, we're gonna get her in the Fame Yard.
And like,
at
right?
some point.
But it's never empty.
Of course
it's
not.
It's just hot pink and nothing else. And it's worldwide. I mean, people know
wall.
That. That's world famous.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, put what you do on a wall like that, and that's way more interesting.
Yes, it is definitely more interesting. I think we're going to get her in the Fame Yard at some point, but I want the Melrose facing wall, not to stuff her inside.
Sure.
I mean, right now, Colette has wings there, so it's kind of a staple piece for us over there.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to get her in there for sure.
So what do you have your sights on next?
Doing a mural,
okay.
Branching out to opportunities. I mean, it's not specific to one certain thing. It's just open to opportunity.
Sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we talked about process a little bit, but I think, you know, do you leave energy and emotion in your work?
Of course. Always. Because you paint with intention.
So would you say do you paint better when you're happy or when you're sad?
That's an interesting question.
I haven't really been sad for a while.
Great. I love that answer.
I love my life. I mean, I don't know. I just.
That's good.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, a lot of people work, you know, me personally, I used to say I work better when I'm stressed and I work, you know, I think
that's a story we tell ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I mean. You're
I mean,
right.
You're not alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to think that I work better under stress. So I was
sure.
just wondering, like, you know, when I'm happy, sometimes I get distracted. You know, when I'm stressed or upset, I'm focused.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite artist, living or dead?
Ooh. God.
You?
That's a Kanye West answer. Me!
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm actually surprising myself, so I'm going to put some kudos to me right now. Cause
what influences do you find that you're aware of as you're painting?
I guess all life experience is my influence. Everything I've experienced, it's not from other artists. A lot of people get inspired by other artists. I haven't yet. I haven't put the paintbrush to the canvas thinking of someone else's work.
Sure. If you could do art for an album cover for
artist,
who would you do?
Oh my God. I mean, Luke Combs, of course.
Okay.
There's so many. I love Brothers Osborne. Of course, on the flag, I can't think. Any and all country music makes me happy.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Zac Brown Band?
Love Zac Brown Band. There you go. I was thinking
so
like.
So Defra painted a guitar that Zac Brown that he has.
Nice.
Oh, of course.
Just made me think maybe we should do a guitar.
Let's do it.
Lightning round.
I love it. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do a lightning round.
All right.
What's your favorite city to travel to?
New York City.
Usually we ask.
Are you talking about like in the U.S.?
Anywhere.
In anywhere.
Oh, Jesus. I love London, Paris, Tokyo. I've been to 42 countries.
Nice.
Yeah, Jesus. I love to travel.
Me too.
I've had incredible experiences everywhere. I can't really pick one.
What's somewhere you liked that, or you liked a lot more than you expected to?
Oh, gosh. Taipei.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I went to Taiwan with Talinda
for
a day.
Oh, yeah.
To drive race cars.
Oh, very cool.
Not Taipei, though. So usually we ask your favorite DJ, but since you're into country music, what is your favorite live show you've ever seen?
Oh, gosh, what was it? Nelly for my birthday.
Oh,
he
cool.
He performed to my birthday.
Oh, did
he?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That was amazing. That was epic.
What's the last great book you've read or listened to?
So many. I'm in two book clubs. So, of course, I'm drawing a blank.
What's going on right now in the book club?
See, we read a lot of dark, twisted. I mean, like either the Holocaust or we read about. Snowflower and the Secret Fan. That was a really good one.
Okay.
Talks about the young Chinese girls and their feet were bound.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day. Yeah, it's disturbing.
Fun reading.
No. Yeah. I would say it's my favorite, but I mean, there's
sure.
Molokai. I mean, okay. That's also about the leprosy and Hawaii back in the day. I don't know.
It's a lot of truth.
Yeah.
A lot of reality.
Overcoming adversity.
Okay.
A lot of, I guess I feel inspired by that as well.
Yeah.
I kinda,
yeah. Nice. So if I want to learn to paint on YouTube, who should I be watching?
I was just scrolling randomly. Okay. I can't even tell you the guy's name. I actually should shout him out.
Like,
I'm like, this is the guy that actually started it all for me. I don't even know his name. And it was like, it was very... low budget.
Sure.
And
those are sometimes the best.
The
ones.
Best, yeah. Yeah. It was kind of like a janky version of like Bob Ross. Like it was like he was like, okay. Oh, you just do this. You know, he makes everything look simple.
Yeah.
But it was so simple.
That's great. What movie do you think you've seen the most in your life?
Karate Kid.
Okay. Did you get into Cobra Kai?
I did. I loved it. I thought it was so cute. I think it was brilliant storytelling. Just, it's so simple, Karate Kid. And it just shows the peaks and valleys.
My son has a friend whose dad looks just like the bad sensei.
Oh, no way, Johnny?
Yeah.
I actually saw him at Garden of Eden back in the day.
Oh, really?
Of course, I did all the obnoxious thing on a Wednesday night. Yeah. It was like, put him in a body bag, Johnny. You know, it was just like, sweep the
leg. So the new series, Ket's son, you know that, right?
No.
Ket's son plays the new Karate Kid.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, Carmelita and Ket's son.
Oh, I did know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chloe used to hang out with, I don't know his name, I forgot his name, but we used to go to the wake-up show and they were filming and I'd bring Chloe and they'd run around and fall down because they were like, couldn't barely walk.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
If I worked for you, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
This is rad. How cool is this? Hell yeah.
That's the first time.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm looking forward to hearing a lot of that.
What a great energy. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for
super
having
fun.
Me.
We'll be following Beth Bowen Art. Is that the is that where we catch
at you? Beth Bowen Art.
Nice. Yes. Can't wait to see what you guys come up with next.
I'm excited too.
I can't either.
Hey, that was Beth Bowen on Rebel Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. Make sure you check out Beth Bowen's website, which is listed in the show notes, and hit up Gorilla One for all of your art, graffiti, street art, all that stuff. Anything you need, Eddie got you covered, so hit it up. And most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.